This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
Let's go. The Niners lost, and I'm glad. Easy money. I love it. I love it, man. You know, the 49ers and the Eagles fan base have been on an ongoing feud ever since the Eagles beat them last year in the NFC Championship and we hurt Brock Purdy and we went on to rout them. And like I say over and over again, it is not the Eagles' fault that you could not block our DNs. It just isn't. And then you celebrated our Super Bowl loss. Then you killed us in Philly in the regular season. Started poking your chest out. You went on a roll, then got all the way to the Super Bowl, still poking your chest out. You kind of came back down to earth against the Ravens and started imploding. And then, you know, you won a bunch of games in a row after that. And then now you're back to your same old talk. But in the Super Bowl, got humbled. You lost. You became part of Patrick Mahomes' Michael Jordan arc.
Facts.
It was the cherry on top of why I picked the Chiefs to win this game. Like I said in the last show, someone said, at the end of the day, this is Jordan in the last dance in 98. Utah had the better team. They were favored. They had home court advantage. But at the end of the day, the same result happened because of the greatness of Michael Jordan. It was the same thing with Brady against the AFC. The reason why the Steelers couldn't get past Brady and the Jaguars and the Chargers, they couldn't get past Brady. It's too great. That's why Mahomes lost to him twice. And the 49ers lost to Mahomes twice. I love it. I'll get to, I guess, the latest developments on the Eagles 49ers Twitter rivalry. But I got to talk about the game. This is pretty much the recap show. Man, what a game. Listen, everyone says the game was boring. I'm not going to lie. Some of my aunts, because I was on my dad's side of the family in North Carolina at the family meeting place, aka my dad's soon to be permanent house. But for now, it's a second home. But we watched the game there. We had a bunch of my aunts and uncles. We had my sister. I drove down to North Carolina with my sister. She lives in Delaware. It was a good game. But see, half of that room, and some of my cousins came over, but half of that room was nodding off, falling asleep, because the game was boring for like three quarters. To them, me, I was engaged. I mean, I was engaged the whole time. I was leaning in and not missing a play. I don't think I missed a snap. If I did, maybe one or two snaps if I had to like move around or something, or I went to go get something to eat. But for the most part, nah, like I watched almost every play. I was into it. I'm sure the casual viewer or the person that don't really have much involved into the game, they got bored and they either left their Super Bowl party or they went and did something else, or they just distracted themselves and did something else. Like my little cousins, like one was 15, I think one was like 8 or whatever. They start playing Uno.
What?
In normal circumstances, I would have joined them, but I just couldn't take my eyes off the game. It started slow. It really did. The Chiefs offense couldn't do anything. It kind of makes sense because The 49ers are good on offense and defense, and they are top five against the run. So you're going to get into some third and longs, because they're stopping the run. You're not really going anywhere. Isaiah Pacheco had a rough game, and they barely used any other running back. I mean, you know he had a rough game when Patrick Mahomes was the leading rusher for the Chiefs.
Damn!
Unreal, but it checks out. It really does. I mean, 49ers, good against the run. Solid against the pass, but vulnerable. The Chiefs were kind of vulnerable against the run a little bit. They were solid against the run, but was vulnerable. Remember, they gave up a bunch of running yards to the Bills. But they were really good against the pass. They were the fourth best pass defense in the league. I mean, I wanted to discredit Carolina, but the stats don't lie. They were better than the Chiefs, or they were just as good as the Chiefs. It's just that they had such a terrible offense that it just didn't matter. See, the Jets and the Panthers had better pass defenses than the Chiefs, but they didn't have no Patrick Mahomes. They didn't have Andy Reid. They didn't have Kelce. So it really caused them to lose a lot of games because their offenses were terrible. Now, the Browns, they picked it up at the end, but their pass defense didn't show up on the road. But that's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there. Oh, I just saw something on Colin Cowherd. It said KC held every opponent under 30 points and 400 total yards this season. Very good defense. Like I said, this was the best defense they had in a while. Now, Chiefs fans tried to tell us after they beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, that they had a young team and they were only going to get better. I think that mostly happened on defense. They got Karlaftis in his second year, I believe. He might be a rookie. Yeah, McDuffie, he's in like his second year. Snead may be a little bit older, but he could have been first-team All-Pro. McDuffie was first-team All-Pro. You got Tranquil, you got Bolton. Like, these, you got the rookie from Kansas State who was like the defensive player of the year in the Big 12. Man, these guys are young, man. And it seemed like they're all coming back, except maybe L'Jarius Sneed. But then you still have Trent McDuffie. So all you need is a cornerback on the other side, and it's a wrap. But yeah, man. Christian McCaffrey got going early, and it didn't surprise me because the Chiefs' run defense can be prone to that. That's why they were middle of the pack in rushing defense. So I'm not really surprised by that. And plus, the 49ers were 32nd in passing attempts. So you knew Christian McCaffrey was going to get the ball, and it looked like he was moving the ball early, but the Chiefs just did a good job of bending but not breaking. And that's the theme of the game from both teams, but especially the Chiefs. Every time it looked like 49ers was moving the ball and it looked like they were going to score, the Chiefs locked down, they focused, and boom, they got the job done. A lot of missed opportunities by the 49ers. Every time they moved the ball, you know, the Chiefs stopped them, or they would get into like a third and long, and the Chiefs were really good at third and long all night. I think both teams were good in those situations all night, and that's why you had kind of a low-scoring type of game. And honestly, it's scary. It's very scary because the total for this game, I think, was 47.5, and they scored 47 points with an extra period.
Damn!
Vegas is full of nerds, and it's scary. They were almost spot on with this. Because when I was looking at the line and looking at the total, I was like, okay, they think this is going to be 24-22 or 24.5, 22.5. And it ended up being 25-22. What in the world? That is scary. What are they going to predict next? Well, they probably already predicted the president. They probably already got odds on that. But, I mean, what's next? Man, them guys are smart, boy. They was on it. They was on it. Now, they missed the boat on 49ers 2.5-point favorites because the Chiefs won by 3. But 3-point spread, 47 points, 47.5 points. They was on it. He just had the wrong team. Man, what? That's kind of scary. And honestly, the 49ers, well, 49ers was like one Chiefs late game mishap away from winning by 3. So, yeah. What else, man? Oh, the sideline blowups were hilarious. Travis Kelce body checking Andy Reid made me laugh way too hard. I was dying laughing because he was so angry, bro. He turned red and everything. He was so mad. He looked like the Hulk. He was raging. I was crying. That was way too funny. A lot of people took it way too serious. They thought he should be out the league. And it's like A.J. Brown and Terrell Owens would never get away with that. You're kind of right about that. Looking at how A.J. was treated this year and how T.O. has been treated his entire career, they wouldn't get away with that. Honestly, Travis Kelce ain't getting away with that either, really. I mean, some people are going to hold that against him. And some people really thought he should be kicked off the team or he should have been benched. No. He's the best player on the team. He's one of the best players on the team. He's arguably the second best player on the team. Why would they bench him because of that? What I saw it as, he is a competitor and he wanted to go out there and make it happen and make a difference for his team. And I don't think he was out there for the Pacheco fumble. So he was mad. He raged. He really wanted this game. He really wanted this title. He really wanted to make a difference. I could see the competitive drive. It was funny, though, how he raised. I didn't think it was that serious. Like, I know he's a really competitive guy, but to body check Andy Reid, he lost it. I was dying, man. What is this kid doing? And then, in the fourth quarter, time was running out. Chiefs had a chance to walk it off in regulation. They didn't have much time. I think it was like third down. I think this was a good play if Patrick Mahomes made a better throw. Listen, Fred Warner has been one-on-one with Kelce the entire game. And I was dying laughing. This kind of happened in Madden too. But I was kind of surprised how well, even in Madden, that Warner did against Kelce. Like, he really held his own. Like, he could really cover tight ends. And he's a middle linebacker. And he did a great job. And yet still, if Mahomes put it in the right spot, it's over. But I heard, you know, it was a bad snap that threw everything off and that Mahomes also could have hit Rashee Rice. And that's what, because he hit Rashee Rice in the middle of the field a few times. And it was open once again. And Rashee Rice got mad on the sideline and Mahomes yelled at him about something and they was going back and forth about it. And Rashee Rice, it looked like he was ready to go. It looked like he was ready to fight about it. It looked like he was really upset about that. Just really competitive guys yelling on the sideline. But yet they found a way to bring it together and walk it off in overtime with the corn dog play. That's the Eagles' favorite play. Boy. And we was mad at Jonathan Gannon about it. And Steve Wilks got caught by that too. I think they were in better position to guard it than we were. Because, you know, I think honestly, if they didn't double Kelce or what's the name didn't, I think it was number 7, right? if he didn't like cheat over to Kelce and just stay where he was, he might have tackled Hardman at the one. But it didn't happen. Your man was wide open, and they got him again with the motion and then zig corndog route for a touchdown. Like, they killing them. They kill people with that. And they got the 49ers with that. But Brock Purdy was decent. He was decent. I think both quarterbacks threw an interception. Mahomes threw a really bad interception. And I want to say it was late in the fourth quarter. He threw a really bad interception. But once again, the defense came to play. Mahomes, 34 for 46, 233 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. Purdy didn't throw a pick. But, you know, He didn't throw a pick. He could have, but he didn't. He was 23 for 38, 255 yards and a touchdown. McCaffrey had 22 carries, 80 yards. 8 receptions, 80 yards and a touchdown. Wow. He still got his. We knew Christian McCaffrey was going to get his because he's arguably the best player in that game. And also the whole 30 seconds and pass attempts thing definitely works out in his favor. He killed it. Kelce had most of his yards. He had 9 receptions for 90 yards, I believe. 93 yards, and most of it was in the second half because he only had 1 catch, 1 yard in the first half. Wow, what a game. Because all the simulations I did on Madden had Mahomes lighting up this defense, and he did most of his damage in the second half. So when it was a 10-3 game at halftime, well, I knew 49ers would be in trouble because they let it be that close. The Chiefs were doing nothing for like a quarter and a half on offense, yet they were still in the game. Like that, I knew that was going to be trouble. And they hung around, and the field goal kickers for both teams came to play. Moody and Bucker. Bucker, no one worries about Bucker. I don't even know the last time he missed a kick. He's reliable. Cool. Nick Moody, he missed some kicks against the Lions, missed some kicks against the Packers. And even in this game, he was great. He was perfect. The only problem is that one, that extra point. See, it's the little things. It's the little things sometimes that could be the difference between second place and first place. The extra point that could have put him up 4 got blocked because it was kicked kind of low. Was it really his fault or was it just a good play by the Chiefs? If he would have got that off, he probably would have made it because the field goal kickers weren't missing. But that got blocked because he kicked it too low. Maybe, I guess. But it happened. But both kickers came to play. Both defenses did what they could. Offenses still got their stuff off, especially in the fourth quarter and overtime. But yeah, man, I mean, the 49ers offense, top 5, and the defense is top 5, top 10, I believe. Very well-balanced team, but Patrick Mahomes just composed, poised, got it done. And I love it, man. I love it. I'll talk about the overtime thing real quick. Apparently, I knew it was going to overtime because it seemed like the Chiefs were kind of stalling once they got past the 30. I was like, this is going to overtime. They're running out of time. And then the back shoulder fail. I was like, yeah, this ain't happening. I wonder what would have happened if he hit Rashee Rice in the end zone or close to the end zone. I wonder what would have happened, but never mind. I knew it was going overtime. Apparently, the 49ers didn't really prepare for overtime. But Kyle Shanahan said he delegated that to the position coaches. Was that the right move? And then there was people said the overtime rules on the Jumbotron. Also, the Chiefs said they have been preparing for the new overtime rules since training camp. And that makes sense because they were the main reason why the overtime rule happened. Them beating the Bills caused them to make a rule change. Of course they're going to prepare for that, just in case it happened again. I guess that's another small difference that, you know, that made them a champ instead of in second place. The little things, when it's just that competitive, when it's that close, just the smallest edge is enough to make you a champion. And that's what happened with the Chiefs. Mahomes got 3 out of 5 now. I mean, he got 3 titles in 5 years. Is that right? Or is it 3 out of 6? No, it's 3 out of 6. He's been in the league 6 years and he has 3 titles. That is wow. He already has more than every QB great except Brady. And I think he got the same as Joe Montana, I believe. But now he's just chasing Brady. Will he get there? It's going to be hard because of salary caps and trades. And you ain't going to have Andy Reid forever. He's getting old. But the GOAT conversation is getting louder. And if he three-peats, this is going to be a LeBron versus Jordan thing. It's already headed that way. But now it's going to be like, oh, this guy is 4-0 in Super Bowls and won 3 straight. Brady hasn't won 3 straight before. None of these quarterbacks has won 3 straight before. And if he go 3 straight, oh, my God. The GOAT conversation is going to be unbelievable. And I don't know if I'm going to cringe about it or I'm going to be like, oh, this is going to be nice. Should I involve myself in it or should I brace myself for the disrespect? Like, I don't know. It's going to be crazy. Okay, now some other things. Let's see. Oh, they showed Taylor Swift for a total of 54 seconds. I thought it was more than that, but they showed her a lot at the end, hugging Travis Kelce, kissing Travis Kelce, showed her parents, showed the Kelce's parents. I'm like, that's fine. Because first of all, Taylor Swift is hot. I don't know. A lot of you say she's mid. She's hot to me. And then, I mean, Travis Kelce, it must be nice to be the top of your field, win another title in the Super Bowl with your out-of-this-world girlfriend and her hot friends. Must be nice. It seems like the life. I can imagine what he had to go through to get to that point. So I am kind of comparing right now, and that's bad. It's a thief of joy. But that is nice, though. That is nice. I'm sure he went through hell and back to get to that point. But man, that's pretty cool. To be, you know, at the top, went back to back, got 3 rings, and got a hot girlfriend or hot friends watching you while achieving your biggest goals. Gotta love it. You gotta love it. Have no problem with it. It is dope. The only problem is I low-key wish it was me, but you know, I got my own goals, and you know, if I achieve them, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. You know, I just know that God is with me every step of the way. I just gotta be obedient and submit to his will. Now, it was holding. I was calling out holding the whole time. Like, my family didn't care. They was just watching. I was like, oh, holding. When you watch football with me, because I'm a referee, and obviously I look at these games closely, I have to. Oh, I'm going to call out holding. There was some obvious hold. I think the most obvious ones, I think most of the obvious ones got called. Some didn't, and I just laughed and just went with the flow. But man, some of these holds from the game that I saw on Twitter that weren't called, I was like, dang, really? It was happening on both sides, but definitely on the Chiefs side. But we should have seen this coming because Bosa told us they hold a lot. And they were holding in the last game that they played against each other. I mean, there's holding. It's the NFL. Like, there's more holding than ever. The higher you go, the more holding it's going to be. The higher the level you go, the more holding it's going to be. But, man, some of them holds are really bad. I see why the 49ers fans are mad. But, Let them stay mad. Let them stay mad. I love it. Because it's their time to be miserable. They did all that talking. They did all that poking their chest out. And they at home without a ring.
Facts.
And they haven't had one since 1994. They're looking like the Washington sitcom and the Dallas Cowgirls. And I'm still amazed that the 49ers brought the Eagles and Cowboys fans together. We're going to go back to hating each other around draft time. But for now, we're enjoying the 49ers misery. And I never thought I'd see the day Eagles and Cowboys fans come together to celebrate someone else losing. I cannot believe it. Like, when the Commanders and the Giants lose, we don't take that seriously. We don't. We just laugh because we know they trash. But the 49ers, oh, man. Oh, all that talking they did, all the back and forth, for them to fall on their face like that, oh, boy, I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, Usher was great to me. It was mixed emotions. Like, some people thought it was mid. I don't think I saw anything worse than mid. Like, his performance was at worst mid, at best the best performance ever, and predictably compared to Michael Jackson and freaking Beyonce and all these people. Like, to me, it was good. Was it Beyonce? Bruno Mars good? No. Was it better than the last 2 years? It's better than the whole Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre one. It was better than my man. Jesus Christ, I forgot. Whoever did it last year, it was better than him. Was it better than Michael Jackson? I doubt it. It's Michael Jackson. Was it better than Beyonce one, which my favorite? No. I had to go back and look, but it was great, and he sung pretty much all my favorites. Yeah, Caught Up. Well, Caught Up ain't top 10, but he sing My Boo, or Alicia Keys. That Alicia Keys part of it exceeded my expectations. I knew that because it got leaked that they were going to do something together. And we all knew once they said Alicia Keys was going to be in it, that he was going to perform My Boo. And Alicia Keys had this ridiculous as in amazing, otherworldly red dress. And then she took off the long part of it and showed all her curves and stuff. And I was like, God dang. Okay. It did start it rough when she tried to see... If I Ain't Got You, or whatever the song is called, the one that she's most famous for. Yeah, okay, that started off rough, but My Boo was, man, that was like that. The roller skating, I like the little roller skating part. I like her being in it. Ludacris, Lil Jon, oh, man. Love in This Club, oh, man. He sung some. I might need to go back and look at it again, man. Usher put on the show. That brother was sweating, boy. He in shape because he was sweating and he was still moving and grooving. I don't know how he did it. His conditioning must be off the chain. He said it was in the Shannon Sharp interview. So I can imagine, man. But props to that brother, man. He put on a show and I am thankful. And back to Taylor Swift and her baddie friends. Her baddie friends that were around her. Blake Lively, Lana Del Rey, Ice Spice. Yeah, that's a heck of a four-headed goat. And I looked at them like they were a four-headed goat.
Facts.
Because damn. Like, no Chris Tucker, no Ice Cube, but you already know. Yeah, so I already talked about overtime. I failed in DFS, of course. Because every time I put money into DFS, I lose. I either... With all the research I did, I ended up coming to the conclusion that this was going to be kind of a defensive game. And Patrick Mahomes was going to do well. Christian McCaffrey was going to do well. They were the most expensive. But I was like, I need something that sets me apart. Do I want to play both defense? I got to play one of these defenses because they're going to get theirs. What do I play these running backs? Isaiah Pacheco got a bad matchup, and what he did, he didn't do nothing, and he fumbled. I was like, which one of these receivers should I get? I was like, I knew Juwan Jennings. At the last minute, I knew Juwan Jennings was going to be a factor, and this guy ended up having two touchdowns, a passing touchdown and a receiving touchdown. Should have picked them. I knew the kickers were going to come to play. They had to with these defenses, and they did. They didn't miss. Well, one got blocked. I was like, well, I should have had them. But with kickers, it's like, I didn't know you get extra points for a plus 50 yards field goal. See, I should have known that. See, it's the little things. When you're trying to win something of significance, it's the little things that can make the difference. And I just didn't stick to that, and I didn't win. But with my little competition with Emily, like we do a FanDuel every week, and whoever has the most points, we join a tournament field, and each week, whoever has the most points with our lineup wins for the week. So we've done this. We started in week 3, so we did some doubleheader weeks, and we caught up. So we were 10-10 going into the Super Bowl, me and Emily. And I choked. I had a 9-6 lead. All I needed was 11 wins to win for the season, and I choked a 9-6 lead. So we're 10-10 going into the Super Bowl. All I needed to beat her, and I beat her by, I don't know, 14 points, 15 points, because Patrick Mahomes had 40. And that was all I needed to beat Emily. I love it. I love it. And I popped fake champagne in the text. I loved it, man. I love beating Emily's behind. Like, we have a little good little friendly rivalry going on. I swear to God, we argue like brother and sister sometimes. But I like our little friendly rivalry. And I'm glad I won this time. Like, we'll see what happens next year when we do the little friendly FanDuel competition thing. That was a close one. I sweated it out, but I won for the season. It took me to the last week. You got to love it. Last thing, I feel sorry for Greenlaw. I'm mad he, you know, tore his Achilles celebrating, trying to get back on the field. Because he was playing a great game until he got hurt. I feel really bad for him. He's probably out the whole season. But then again, with the advances in Achilles healing or whatever, or treatment, he'll probably be back by the end of the 2024 season. He'll probably be back. Don't be surprised. He ended up playing in the playoffs. So of 2024, 2025. But he's definitely out at least most of this season. Got to be. Most of this next season. And I feel really bad because, I didn't really like him at one point because of the Big Dom thing. But after I heard him talk about it, I was like, he's not a bad guy. And then I watch him play, and he's a really good player. And now he's out. He got this unfortunate injury, and I'm sick. No matter what I feel about the 49ers, what happened to that brother is sickening. And I'm hurt for him, his family, his teammates. Because it just doesn't deserve, he just doesn't deserve that. It just shouldn't be happening to him. But it did, and well, he has an uphill battle. And I hope he comes back stronger than ever. I'm really sick for him, man. It sucks that had to happen to him. Oh, and one last thing about Super Bowl. Last thing for sure. The Feliciano thing. Apparently, he's a guard or a center. I forgot what play it was where Purdy got sacked or he got hit by Chris Jones. But apparently, you know, his teammate missed the block, and he called him out about it on Twitter. and or the ex, and the teammate took the high road. And to Feliciano, hope he gets better and everything. But apparently Feliciano apologized profusely and said he was drunk, yada, yada. But then Jalen Carter inputted and said, what's the name? Feliciano made a joke about him crashing his car or getting into that crash that killed a teammate and a staffer. Of course, he took that personally and got all emotional about it. And just, according to Feliciano, hounded him all game about it and got personal. I think it was just an exchange of energies. Like, I don't know who started it. I guess Feliciano started. He said that joke, and Jalen Carter felt like that was personal. So he got personal with him, and apparently he started, you know, threatening Feliciano, and apparently threatening his family, posted a picture of, I'm your biggest fan, I'm going to get up with you, with the caption, I'm your biggest fan, I'm going to get up with you. And it was a pic of him and his kids. He went a little too far with that. Both sides are tripping, but it just shows you that, but, you know, neither is the victim here. They both messed up. They both got into the heat of the game, said some stuff that they weren't supposed to, and it spilled out of Twitter, and now it spilled onto Twitter, and now it's keep going on Twitter. Feliciano has Jalen Carter blocked. I don't like blocking people, but that's what he chose to do. So, yeah, now the flames have reignited. And you add that to Fletcher Cox saying something about Debo and the 49ers and the fans. The fans have been going back at it all year. I haven't really said anything to 49ers fans personally other than Tennessee Christie. That's it. She's the only person I've gotten to it with. And she's cool, so I don't go too much. Because if I really wanted to go there with Tennessee Christie, I could. She'd probably destroy me because I don't know. I don't think she's as nice as I am. Like, she'll definitely go in on my Eagles if she wanted to. But, you know, I kind of left that alone. I kind of kept it playful because I actually like Tennessee Christie. So I don't even worry about that. Raquel, I kind of, so beautiful me. I like her. But we got into it about Eagles and 49ers at one point. I'm kind of leaving her alone. But of course, she's super emotional, so she had a meltdown about the 49ers losing, and then try to, I guess, take the high road like she does with the Lakers, and say, you know, future is bright. I'm paraphrasing, but listen, fans going at it, the quote unquote rivalry is at its all time high, but I think all of this is gonna blow over. Because a new season's going to start, new headlines. And the 49ers aren't even on the schedule. I'm so mad we didn't win the division because we can't play the 49ers. Listen, conference division winners or conference division placers, like if you finish in first, you play the division winner of the other two divisions. So the Cowboys won our division, so they get to play the 49ers and the Buccaneers. I'm kind of sick about that. The 49ers, the Buccaneers, and the Lions. So they get to play all of them. I wanted all of them. We don't get to play them. They're not on our schedule because we didn't finish in first. So we get the Rams. We get the Packers. I think the NFCs, we play the whole NFC South, so we're going to play the Bucs anyway. But man, I wanted the 49ers. I wanted them because this little quote-unquote rivalry is at our all-time high. But instead, they're going to play the Cowboys, which has its own storylines. So I guess I got to settle for that. I don't know who I want to win that game. I don't care who wins that game. Whoever loses, I'll enjoy their misery. But we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully, it ain't a blowout because that last 49ers-Cowboys game was pathetic. Oh, man. All right, real quick. NBA trades. There were a bunch of them. The Knicks got Bogdanovich. And they got Bogdanovich from the Pistons. And they got Alec Burke, who went crazy in D.C. on Martin Luther King Day. So I'm like, if he plays like that for the Knicks, they might go to the conference finals. Because they'll eventually get Julius Randle back. The local trade, we sent Daniel Gafford to the Mavericks for Rashawn Holmes. I think a third team was involved. And I'm just like, man, we really lost Daniel Gafford. He played some good ball for us the last 3 years, but we weren't winning. So I can see how he would be expendable. Apparently, there was a Kuzma trade on the table to the Mavericks, but Kuzma kind of didn't want it to happen. So that, apparently, that's the story. So Winger backed out. I mean, if the Mavs would have gave us good compensation, we should have took that dang Kuzma trade. But I don't know what the compensation package was. So I'm just going to have to take everyone for their word for it and assume Kuzma want to stay and have the team built around him. Okay, I can see that. That's fine. Whatever. I'm mad we lost Gafford, but you got to realize that team, it needs changes. Our young players are doing good now. Like Kispert is coming into his own. Avi is coming into his own. Blau Koulibaly is playing some good minutes. Johnny Davis is still in and out of the G League. I don't know when he's going to come along. But those are our last few first-round picks, okay? I mean, Troy Brown's gone. Hachimura's gone. All those other guys, they're coming along, okay? Poole is loafing. He'll have some splashes. Ironic I say that. But he is just nothing what anyone thought he would be. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's part of the reason why we're 9-44 now. Terrible. Just terrible. What other trades happened? Spencer Dinwiddie just getting passed around like a blunt again. He's in Toronto. I forgot who the Nets got back. If someone significant. Was it Dennis Schroeder? It was Dennis Schroeder. Okay, that's fine, I guess. A lot of people wanted Mikal Bridges because he's a borderline all-star player who, I don't know if he's hit his prime yet, but he might not have. He's either in his prime or he's close to it. So he's very valuable and plays both ends on the floor. So I would get that. I would get why you would want him. Oh, man. Pat Bev, belt-to-ass tour. The belt-to-ass tour has moved to Milwaukee.
Facts.
He gets to leave Philly while Embiid is out and the team is starting to fall back. Now, he's going to miss the resurgence, or not the resurgence, but the emergence of Tyrese Maxey, which kind of has happened already, but he might go to another stratosphere soon because he's getting good fast. So, you know, we'll see. What other trade has happened, man? Those are the main ones I can think of. Sick about Gafford leaving, but you got to realize we're not that good. So we might as well get all that we can get. We might as well get all the draft compensation we can get. We might as well get all the young players we get. And it kind of makes sense because of the emergence of Bagley, Marvin Bagley. Like, he's playing really well. We traded for him. He's playing really well. So Gafford get less time on the floor, or he get less opportunities to make an impact. So it makes sense because we got Marvin Bagley now. So he's our guide center. So it is what it is. Not good. Not good. So as far as I'm concerned, we can trade everybody. We ain't good. So it is what it is. I would have loved to still had Gafford because I really liked him as a player. But it just is what it is, bro. We not good at the end of the day. I finally got my answer on what happened to Deladon. Literally the day after I put out the episode, finally give an update on Deladon. Deladon is taking a year away from basketball. And I'm like, wait a minute. Is she a free agent? Or is she still, or is her rights still assigned to the Mystics? I don't know. I think she might be a free agent. When she does, or if she does, decide to come back to basketball, is she going to come back to the Mystics? This team, I said last episode, this team is about to look very different. We already got rid of Natasha Cloud, or we already let Natasha Cloud walk. So now, this is a Brittany Sykes, Ariel Atkins, Shakira Austin team. Now, like I said, we're in the sixth spot, and we got some pretty good players available in that spot. And I like them all. I want Paige Beckers, but if we don't get her, well, there is plenty to choose from in that pool. I'd be cool with any of them. I'd be cool with Georgia Amore. I'd be cool with Deja Kelly. If we want a replacement for Natasha Cloud, I think we should go Paige Beckers or Georgia Amore. Georgia Amore, she has more durability. She's more durable. But I don't like her. I don't think her ceiling is as high as, what's her name? As high as Paige Beckers, like I said last show. So I would rather have Beckers. But Georgia Amore, she's going to come with less fanfare, I guess. I mean, she's from another country, so maybe it would be a different type of fanfare. So, I mean, if we get Georgia Amore, that's fine. Or maybe we trade back and get her, and then we'll gather some picks. Or we take her at number six, and that's fine. You know what I'm saying? If she ends up being the Natasha Cloud replacement, that's fine. But yeah, Della Don's taking a year off. I completely understand. She's dealt with a lot of injuries. I don't know what's up with her sister. I don't know if her sister is still alive. I know she had been dealing with that for years, dealing with her for years, I know family's really important to her. Also dealing with injuries, like I said. And who knows? Everyone has mental health issues. Like, everyone has mental health demons. So who knows what she's going through mentally and emotionally. So it's good. She's taking time away from basketball. You know, I hope that, you know, she finds peace. And if she decides not to come back, I completely understand. She's done plenty. She has a ring. She's done a lot for our city. She's done a lot for this franchise. So if she decides not to come back after her year off, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying? I just hope she gets healthy and finds peace. And I wish her the best. I really do. Because I feel like she's an amazing player. And I don't know her, but seemingly an amazing person. So I really hope and pray that everything goes well. And that she heals up from any injuries. And that, you know, her mental health and emotional health is intact, whether she decides to come back or not. So, yeah. Episode went longer than I expected. Well, I mean, what else is new? But it is what it is. I probably missed some things, but I think I covered enough. It was mostly a Super Bowl recap. So, we'll probably get into more basketball stuff next week. But for now, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. And follow Goat Level on TikTok, Instagram, the X. Try to be active on all of them, but mostly been active on the X and TikTok. Also active on the podcast is on YouTube. Got some really good clips. So go check that out. Put some segments on there too every now and then. So go check that out. Goat Level Podcast on YouTube. GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. And you already know that I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.